There are countless ways to try to understand philosophical work, and it is not at all easy to choose one of these, thinking that it will be the right one. In a year which reminds us that the philosopher who fascinated many people of his and the following generation as an unusual and outstanding figure in this field, often thought, there you find also a mass of new attempts to add to the already immense literature on philosophy by Wittgenstein. Within the 50 years of his death, you will quite soon realize that my English is a very simple, too simple English. I apologize for this, I never have learned it better. Within the 50 years after his death, there we found not only the new publications of the Philosophische Untersuchungen, the main and central work after the Logisch-Philosophische Abhandlung, but also the other writings covering a wide field of philosophical topics and problems, be it in the field of logic, semantics, and mathematics, or philosophy of mathematics, and in the philosophy of language, the philosophy of psychology, or to mention another section, the phenomenology of colors, etc. The way to deal with the problems which are of interest and were of interest to him should have always been linked with direct examples in the vast field of language. Where we have to distinguish between sagen und zeigen, saying and showing, and all the language games which are there to be used to find centers like the one in Bergen, which provide an easy way to detect their history and their use in present days philosophical investigations. This is an advantage which we didn't have when we were young, and we are happy now as the old ones to get it at least. In spite of the fact that very often philosophy is said it is the mother of all sciences, we know that many philosophers do not share an interest outside their own field of investigations. We, however, need the amount of knowledge of other fields in order to widen our field of research and take part in the widening the horizon of subjects of our research. There are, as I like to say, many questions which have been raised and which can be raised in regard to Wittgenstein's philosophical works. Most of my papers are answers to a question, but more than one question which we can raise in this regard. His picture of sketches of landscapes which were made in the course of these long and involved journeys of his life fits also our steady return to the album. That is the picture world we have of his life. And this has been proved again and again that we are puzzled and refreshed at the same time to get the chance to see things and texts not perhaps in the right way, but in another way. When Wittgenstein reflects or is reflecting on his own abilities, he identifies as one major obstacle language itself, an obstacle not only for himself, but for all language users. Good, we are in struggle with the language. Wir stehen im Kampf mit der Sprache. The main reason for this fact, if it is a fact, is first of all that already in our ordinary way of speaking, of using language, our language, be it to express our feelings, thoughts or wishes, It depends on possibilities. For instance, that all we mean and say can or may be misunderstood. Misunderstood because our intentions may not have found a clear and proper expression or interpretation, and thus leave open more possibilities than the facts will grant. Already in his early work, the Tractat, we read, propositions can represent the whole of reality, but they cannot represent what they must have in common with reality in order to be able to represent it, the logical form. In order to be able to represent logical form, we should have to be able to station ourselves with propositions somewhere outside, that is, outside the world. Und die logische Form, I just repeat the last sentence in German. Um die logische Form darstellen zu können, müssten wir uns mit dem Satz außerhalb der Logik aufstellen können, das heißt außerhalb der Welt. I, for instance, wonder how sure Cora Diamond can be in her reading and interpreting Malcolm's Nothing is Hidden, where she does distinguish between the metaphysical spirit and the realistic spirit in such a way that her reading of the Tractatus permits only her interpretation of metaphysics as acceptable in order to read the Abhandlung in a proper way. In order to understand these remarks somewhat better, I first shall try as briefly as possible to get clearer the role which attributes to metaphysics or metaphysical requirements. I seem to follow Diamond's intention only insofar as in one of two introductions to her book, The Realistic Spirit, in 1991, she has chosen as its title, namely, Wittgenstein and Metaphysics. The open question, however, concerns the understanding of the notion of being metaphysical, or the question what we should understand and make understood with this word, or notion. Wittgenstein himself was much more precise with regard to language and the use of language, as well as with regard to the task of philosophy. Philosophy, I quote, simply puts everything before us and neither explains nor deduces anything. Since everything lies open to view, there is nothing to explain. For what is hidden, for example, is of no interest to us. Die Philosophie stellt eben alles bloß hin und erklärt und folgert nichts. Da alles offen, da liegt, ist auch nichts zu erklären. Well, it is neither general attitude nor easy to accept what Wittgenstein explains. But what we want to be explained can only be explained with the means we have. The question we may raise, Wittgenstein reminds us, refer to words. Therefore, we have to talk about words. And here we are already in the very center of Wittgenstein's philosophical investigations. When asked what may be an obstacle for understanding the use of words, our words, Wittgenstein, answer is, we do not command a clear view of the use of our words, because our grammar is lacking this sort of perspicuity, Übersichtlichkeit. And it is quite obvious that there are all kinds of obstacles possible. Those concerning the status of our body and health, the status of our interests and trainings, and the status of the general situations, the place and the different objects with which we are or aren't acquainted with. Not knowing a thing, let's say some objects we never have seen and heard of in before, leaves us uncertain and puzzled. Do I know something about this? however, think that if we were in the happy position to recognize the objects, well, that object, and even thus that we know or find the way to identify this object, in the right way it could be described. And that has opened one of the ways to understand also the situation in question. Only this would help us to detect seeing connections. It is in this context that Wittgenstein underlines the immense importance of finding and inventing intermediate cases which leads to the declaration: the concept of perspicuous representation is of fundamental significance for us. It earmarks the form of account, die Darstellungsform, is translated this way. It earmarks the form of account we give, the way we look at things, die Art, wie wir die Dinge sehen. First of all, one would like to ask, how do we see things? Well, I, for instance, don't see you as well when I look at you as we when I use my glasses in front of my eyes. So this example is nice if you have those glasses, but sometimes it may be inside, not in same good shape, and you still do not have the same sight as you had when you were I, for instance, have it. First of all, one would like to ask, how do we see things? How do I see them? And the response could be, we see them as we see other things and events, and we see them as other people can see them if they are in the same or in a similar position as we. Then we would have to ask, how do we see and judge things and ideas? What importance do we concede to the individual case? And thus, in asking these and similar questions, we may take a step forward and add the more general question, how do we find out how we see things the same way as other people? Because it could be that I see throughout my life something different what all my family, not to speak of you, would see. What is the criterion for the identity of the objects seen by different people? We could say that we have to distinguish between two objects, the picture or the idea we have constructed of the object, and the actual or real confrontation of perception of the very object. When, for instance, Marcon, in discussing McGuinness's critical remark on realistic interpretation of Wittgenstein's view of objects, cites proposition 2026, only if there are objects can the world have a fixed form. That is what he says. He draws the conclusion, Marcon draws the conclusion, since the world does have a fixed form, therefore there are objects. But Marcon tried to offer a further interpretation, suggesting that Wittgenstein would have been drawn in two different directions. On the one hand, he wanted to say that objects have to exist. On the other hand, he wanted to say that it is nonsense to speak of the objects as either existing or not existing. Speak of the objects as either existing but not existing should be nonsense, according to this. In order to know an object, Wittgenstein says. I must know not its external, but all its internal qualities. That's a difficult task to find out if I have proved this. If I am to know an object, so I need not know its external properties. I must know all its internal properties. That is, as Pierce and McGuinness have chosen their words in English. If all objects are given, then at the same time, all possible states of affairs are also given. That could lead to the next step, each thing, as it were, in space of possible states of affairs. This space I can imagine empty. Nothing in this kind of the world. But I cannot imagine the thing without a space. Somewhere it must be, if it is a thing in the world. With these three steps, Wittgenstein characterizes the status of objects concerning their external and internal qualities, as well as the status of all possible states of affairs. Objects are simple, and they make up the substance of the world. That is the Baustein, that is where we start from. With these central propositions, we are introduced into the basis of the Tractatus, at least in a short way. That is concerning objects, their figuration, and the states of affairs produced by them. With the central statement, the totality of existing states of affairs is the world, we make so to speak, a salto from the simple situation of one object which is in the center of our interest to the totality of the world. So, with this central statement, the totality of existing states of affairs is the world. I ended this thought together with an analysis of Wittgenstein's ideas and their relation to Frege's theories, and in a certain sense their parallel with these. Hintikker found it would not be just a matter that Wittgenstein's picture theory does show a similar such as Frege's, and I am sure that in this regard Hintikker is right. In their book Investigating Wittgenstein's, the two Hintikkers analyzed especially the picture theory, with the result that the main ideas were Frege's, not only with regard to the conception of elementary positions taken as a series of names for objects belonging to the different types which may complement one another. The simplest example thereof we find in the proposition 4012 of the Tractatus, where we read, it is obvious that the proposition of the form ARB strikes us as a picture. In this case, the sign is obviously a likeness of what is signified. The general point we find expressed in the proposition 4014 of the Tractat, the gramophone record, the musical idea, the rhythms and the sound waves all stand to one another in the same internal relation of depicting that holds between language and the world. They are all, in a certain sense, one. In a passage of the Philosophical Investigations, where we find Wittgenstein's remark about the simple constituent parts of which reality is composed, we may be carried back to the pre-Socratic, period, where the question concerning the elements which reality should have been composed of was of central interest. And I think that this interest remained throughout the years up to now. He sees himself, like Socrates in Theaetetus, as a former advocate of a similar position, namely next to Russell, as a defender of a theory which does not take the objects, the things, but facts as the building stones of the world. And these are the two possibilities from which we can start. If we find the idea that we explain the start of the world, or the essence of the world, we would have to look for some kinds of atoms, whatever kind of atoms these are. And if we have atoms, we make their figuration on the basis of these atoms. So it is, I guess, understandable and well known that this step which we find in Wittgenstein's reading period in some sense unclear. There was a period when the interpreters had the topic of Wittgenstein and metaphysics in the focus. And I think that in the passage of the Philosophical Investigations, where we find the remark about the simple constituent part of which reality is composed, as a model which in the pre-Socratic period was the model and which in the rites of the period which followed became the start of the questions. Where there are different ways and presuppositions to state that a philosophical text is or should be called metaphysical, we have the problem in the early period, and we had the problem in today. It is understandable and well known that it is not at all clear what the presupposition for these predications are. In her introduction, Wittgenstein and Metaphysics, Cora Diamond asks whether there is a sense in which the Tractatus might be described as metaphysical, even though it is not concerned with features of reality, underlying sense, with things that are the case, also they cannot intelligibly be said or thought to be the case. It is metaphysical in holding that it is possible for propositions to be rewritten in such a way that these logical relations are all clearly visible, and that by rewriting them in that way, what propositions are, what combinations of signs would also be clear, as would be what all propositions have in common. This is not the view about what there is, external to language or thought, but about what they essentially are despite appearance, and about what we can do, what it must be possible to do. So far in the realistic spirit. Relying on the belief in an internal logical, or in our language, we also find the belief in what we must be able to do given that we understand sentences and use them. We are using them in saying things in determinate logical relations to each other. What is metaphysical? There is not the content of some belief, but the laying down of a requirement, the requirement of logical analysis, we read in the Diamond passage I just quoted. Here we have the case of a more or less clear condition referring to a classical example of modern version of metaphysics, asking for strict and clear rules concerning the logical structure and its application. At the very end of her paper, in the chapter Throwing Away the Letter, How to Read the Tractatus, the author gives a summary saying, I see the Tractatus as a great first expression of an idea that is deepened in Wittgenstein's later work and never given up, of the link between misunderstanding of the truth of logic and our attachment to philosophy, thought of as doctrines and theses and theories. If propositions are pictures of reality, or as in proposition 401 we read, a model of reality as we imagine it, we remain as near as possible in the realm of possibilities and of realities. It should not be forgotten that the possibility of all imagery, of all pictorial models, modes of expression is contained in the logic of depiction. The meaning, and that is Wittgenstein's a quotation of Wittgenstein, the meaning of simple signs, of words, must be explained to us if we do understand them. With propositions, however, we make ourselves understood. So 4.0.2.6. When we permit ourselves to refer to an earlier period in Wittgenstein's philosophical career, we see him in the early 30s again getting more and more involved in the problem of the relation between the language and the world. And that is quite clear, that is the central problem. We, lucky beasts on this earth, have the chance to express what we feel and inform the others, the rest of the things which are alive don't have such a clear language. The simple idea to use our knowledge by acquaintance plays a special role in these attempts. Knowing what the word signifies would mean having an experience of demonstrative kind, that is, by demonstrative definitions, so to speak. Showing what the name means is done by showing or pointing to the object. Rudolf, zum Beispiel. Die hinweisende Definition ist nur eine einzige Regel der Verwendung des Wortes. It is this very theory he later criticized in the philosophical investigation. That was in the period before he wrote the investigations. After the period, in the first half of the 30s, Wittgenstein more and more withdraws from this picture of the name-object relation, replacing it by his final, so to speak, final theory that the meaning of a word is its use in the language. Surely, this is true for the normal use of words and language. Quote, nur in normalen Fällen ist der Gebrauch der Worte uns klar vorgezeichnet. In all the others, we have to do it, so to speak, on the basis of our fantasy, knowing what the rules are. But since we are, so to speak, free in our use of the language, how else could exist poetry and literature? We may even enlarge the field of our use of language, a fact which also demonstrates the changing character of language itself. Concerning the private language, so-called private language problem, we feel ourselves placed on a classic philosophical battlefield. The question how a sign is tied or connected to the world, expression in the Philosophischen Bemerkungen, will be differently understood depending on the point of view we accept or on the point of view we do not defend. For Wittgenstein, at an early period, the connection between language and the world is thus that its relations are nothing else than diatomic relations, a view he does not keep too long. But there are other possibilities which were discussed in the rest of his life. But about this part of his life, I shall not talk. It is not easy to distinguish the philosophical answer we read in Wittgenstein's late writings in such a way that the ones are seen free from metaphysical statements, or at least free from a metaphysical tone of voice, and the others are not, a perspective which is too simple, I agree. But all the other ways are equally depending on the openness towards metaphysical interpretations. And this would be the way I would not like to go, but I know it is the right way back to the metaphysics. Thank you.